This morning, our scripture is found in Romans chapter 3. We'll start at verse 21, read through chapter 4, verse 8. You can find this on page 1750 in the Bibles and the chairs in front of you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this morning that we can come and hear your word, and we just pray that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, we may hear your voice and know what it is you want us to learn from you today. For it is your name we pray. Amen. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been known, to which the law and the prophets testified. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts in God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is recredited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them.
Over the past 4 weeks, we've been in this cove with Jesus teaching from the boat. We've heard Jesus explaining the mysteries of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven in 4 parables. The parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the yeast. In each of these parables, we have seen the centrality of belief or faith in the ability to understand and to experience these secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In the parable of the sower, we learned that the first secret of the kingdom is belief in Jesus as God. In the explanation of the parable, we learned that the second secret of the kingdom is belief in Jesus as the good news of the kingdom. In the parable of the weeds, Jesus reveals that the people of the kingdom understand God has a secret plan to deal with evil and delivering his church. The parable calls us to trust patiently God's sovereign goodness, protection, and justice until Jesus comes to make all things new. This kind of patient waiting requires faith in God's ability to deliver on this promise. In the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast, Jesus reveals the kingdom of heaven starts small and grows to benefit us and others. It requires faith in God's design for kingdom operations for us to benefit from the secret of the small kingdom. In these secrets of the kingdom, what makes them operational and experiential in our lives is receiving them and living into them through faith. Got faith? How do you know if you have faith or if you don't have faith? What is faith? That's a troublesome question for our contemporary culture. Merriam-Webster's dictionary offers several definitions of faith. This is the one that most Christians would identify with. Faith is belief and trust in and loyalty to God. However, our contemporary culture would probably identify more with this one. Faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. In my research, I came across a site that offered 10,500 quotes on faith. Here are three that are rooted in this second definition. Faith isn't faith until it's all you're holding on to. So what is this fuzzy faith that one is supposed to hold on to when there is nothing left to hold on to? You block your dreams when you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith. This inspirational author and speaker tells us we block our dreams when we allow our fear to grow bigger than our faith. This certainly sounds inspirational, but it begs the questions. Our faith in what? Is our faith in faith? And then this one. Keep your dreams alive. Understand to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself. Vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible for those who believe. This two-time Olympic gold medalist clarifies that the proper object of our faith is oneself. In our culture, it's quite good enough to have faith in faith. Seemingly, a step above that is having faith in oneself. The popular encouragements to have faith or have faith in yourself are closed systems of faith. In both cases, the person exercising, quote, faith must turn that faith back on himself or herself as the object of one's own faith. While we begrudge no one a healthy dose of confidence, our culture has abandoned God as the proper object of faith. This leaves one philosophically, theologically, and practically to do the best one can. Within this cultural context, the best one can hope for is to assert something like this: I have faith that by my own efforts, everything will work out fine for me, even though there's no proof that everything will actually work out fine. This is the 21st century work-based rightness. Faith is believing I can make everything work out right. Well, lest we be too harsh concerning our neighbors striving to exercise faith in a secular context, we should look within the church as well. Between 2005 and 2010, the Barna Group conducted research to find out the status of faith among those self-identifying as Christians. Among the findings is one that particularly relates to our topic this morning. The research revealed 58% of self-described Christians age 18 and older believe that if you are a good person or you do good things, you can earn your way into heaven. What we largely see within the church is a return to a works-based system to earn a good standing with God. You say, I can even make things work out right with God. I can obligate God to forgive me. This is exactly what Martin Luther, John Calvin, and the reformers were trying to reform. These reformers were taking their stand on gaining a right standing with God through faith alone, directly from the Apostle Paul. This morning, I hope to show the contours of this doctrine within the passage before us so that our hearts rejoice in our right relationship with God. We enjoy through faith alone, and that we will see this doctrine, or we'll see in this doctrine God's wisdom, righteousness, and glory, drawing us to joyfully worship Him. Let's begin by looking at four characteristics of biblical faith. In this one, we jump outside of our passage for today, but biblical faith comes from outside ourselves. Faith is the gift of God, and we know this from Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this faith is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The source of our faith doesn't come from within. It comes from God to us, from the outside. Biblical faith has an object outside of ourselves. It has a source outside of ourselves, and it has an object outside of ourselves. We believe in someone, Jesus Christ. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to who? To all who believe in Jesus. Jesus is the object of our faith. God is the object of our faith. The third is that biblical faith has a content outside of ourselves. We just don't make up what faith is. We believe in something. Our redemption through the atoning death of Jesus. All are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received. How? To be received by faith. This is the content of our faith. God is the source of our faith. Jesus is the object of our faith. The content of our faith is that we are redeemed children of God by the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, biblical faith produces a result that we could never achieve. We are justified. That is, we are declared righteous by God. However, to the one who does not work, or that is, to the one who doesn't try to make things by their own efforts work out right with God, but the one who trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. So when we put our faith in God, God says, that faith, that's your righteousness. That's what makes you in right standing with me. Because you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins by the shedding of his blood, and that you are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And I declare you righteous, blameless before me. So, let's take a look now at how all this works together to form what it means to be right with God by faith alone. So, to help us follow how God makes us right with Him through faith, I've paraphrase the following passages to help us see what they mean for our right standing with God through faith. So I'm going to put up a passage from our scripture this morning, and then I'm just going to paraphrase that a little bit. So God does not declare us right with Him because we keep the law of Moses or any other way of earning salvation. When we look at the law of Moses and we look at our lives, we clearly see our sin. God shows us how we can be right with Him without earning His favor for our salvation. And the prophets throughout the centuries have preached this kind of righteousness. So here's the message that the prophets have been preaching, that God declares everyone who comes to Him through faith in Jesus Christ to be right with God. Everyone, and it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or everybody else, it works for everyone. And this rightness with God is available to everyone because everyone has sinned. Everyone needs it. Therefore, God freely declares everyone who believes in Jesus as blameless before Him. In God's eyes, it is as if they have never sinned. The righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes our righteousness. And when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Jesus covering us. God made His grace visible in the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, as a blood sacrifice for the death penalty for our sin. God showed His righteousness by laying on His Son, Jesus, all the sins He previously left unpunished in view of what He would later do in Christ Jesus. In doing this, God upholds His own righteousness And God makes right with him everyone who comes to him through faith in Jesus. Our right standing with God comes to us through faith in Jesus alone, and not by an effort of any kind of our own. Therefore, we cannot boast of any achievement of being right with God. All glory for our being declared right with God is glory for God alone. So, as we close, let's take a few moments to consider how we are blessed by faith in Christ alone. Paul quotes King David from Psalm 32 in Romans 4, 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Now, think about that deeply. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted him by faith, believing in his atoning sacrifice for your sins, this is you. You are blessed because your transgressions are forgiven. Your sins are covered. And the Lord will never count your sins against you. Ever. You see, you are right. You are so right with God. How might that rightness, I mean, really letting that rightness sink down into our soul, change the way we walk in this world? Our faith in Jesus is a blessing to us personally, to our church family, to our communities, and to our world. Faith is a blessing to us personally. Faith comes to us individually by God's grace as a gift. Who do you give gifts to? The people you love, right? You give gifts to the people you love. And God gives us faith. When he gives us the faith to believe in Jesus, it's a love gift. He's saying, I love you. Here's an awesome gift. This is the best gift you could ever hope for. This covers everything for you. You're good forever. Through this faith that God gives us, we believe in Jesus Christ and that his atoning sacrifice has set us free from the death penalty of our sin and has made us right with God. This is the supreme blessing. You see, if we truly believe in Jesus, if we let that sink down in our souls, really sink in, there can never be a day where I say, I don't feel blessed, because God has blessed us in such a way that we're covered for all eternity. You don't have to worry about how it's going to be between you and God. Ever. Ever. You don't have to worry, is God on my side? He has given us the supreme blessing of giving us the gift of faith to believe in Jesus So that when we look at the cross, every time we look at the cross, we say, that is the proof. God is on my side. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Always blessed. Every moment of every day, we stand in the flow of the blessing of God. Without the faith that God supplies, none of this is possible. By grace, through faith alone in Jesus, God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. This is enough. This alone is enough to generate an eternity of grateful worship from us individually. Every Sunday, when we gather here together, our worship can be rich and profound because we can never say enough thank you. We can never say enough I love you to our Heavenly Father for what He has done for us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Faith is a blessing to our church family because it is in this union that we enjoy with Christ through His atoning sacrifice for our sins. It is that union that binds us together as His body and as a family of God. As Paul wrote, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All of us, one in Christ Jesus. It is through faith alone, the receiving of the benefit of the atoning death of Jesus, that binds each of us together in the bonds of love. One family of God, everybody that's in this room, and then beyond that, everybody that sincerely and truly names the name of Christ worldwide. One family. Faith in Jesus as our mutual Savior and Lord is our only basis for confessing that we are brothers and sisters in Christ and then to behave accordingly. See, when we really believe in Jesus and bring Him into our life, our lives are transformed, and then we can behave like Jesus in these kinds of ways. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, isn't that the truth? It's forgiveness that is the mark of true love, isn't it? You can't stay in a loving relationship with anybody without a willingness to extend forgiveness and a willingness to be forgiven. And this is what we gain in Christ as we allow His atoning sacrifice and what that means to soak deeply into our lives and what it means that God in His mercy and grace has given us this wonderful gift of faith in Jesus. And through that, through no effort of our own, through no deserving of our own, God says, I forgive you. And then that works by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, where we can deal with people who deal with us unjustly, that don't deserve our forgiveness at all, but we can, in our hearts, and when appropriate with our words, say, I forgive you. It is possible. In fact, that's the way God wants us to live. Faith is a blessing to our communities and to the world. Faith in Jesus provides for us individually and as a church the message of grace. This message of grace is this: God the Father declares everyone to be in right standing with Him who by faith believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for his or her sin. We don't have to earn it. We simply receive it by faith. The proof that we've received this right standing with God is that we then live a life of loving obedience to Him. This is the mysterious message of grace which we spread, knowing those who have ears to hear and eyes to see will understand and believe in Jesus. Through God-given faith, they will find themselves in the kingdom of heaven with us through faith alone in Jesus Christ, their Lord. So let's pray together. As we settle into prayer, take a moment to be attentive to the presence of God in your heart right now. And as you become more conscious of His presence in you, with you, in your own words, tell the Father how much you love Him for giving you the gift of faith to believe in Jesus. Now tell Jesus how much you love Him for dying for your sins so that you live in a right relationship with God. Now ask the Holy Spirit to help you and to help our church family to share this message with others naturally and enthusiastically. They too can live in a right relationship with God through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and Holy Spirit, who prompts our prayers, hear our prayers. Grant to us thankful and joyful hearts for the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that washes us clear from all sin, and for the gift of faith that comes from God alone to cause us to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and to love Him. And for the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and empowers us to walk in ways that are faithful and true to you, that cause us to walk by faith so that we might please you. And we're grateful for that. And we do ask, Lord, that you will empower us, granting to us both wisdom and speech and actions that will allow us in the most natural and pleasant of ways to be able to share this wonderful message of grace through faith alone in Jesus with the people you bring along our path that need to hear it. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.